Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio as we take in your questions from around the world. A lot of you hanging on. Let's go right to the phone lines. First up is Art, listening in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Art.
Hey, Hank. I really appreciate you taking this call here. I am diagnosed with a mental health disorder, psychotic disorder. It could be schizophrenia or schizoaffective disorder. And my primary delusion that comes up for me is I just feel like I get these feelings like I'm not saved. And I wonder if, like, I've been prescribed antipsychotics and now I'm changing pills to another one. I'm just wondering, like, there's a lot of stuff on the internet about how, you know, if you're trusting in pills for the peace of your soul, you're going to the wrong place because you're not resting in God. I don't know, like, is the fact that I need pills to try to help me feel like I'm saved, is that a sign that I might not be, you know, or... like, what do you think about that?
Well, I think the first thing is that we have to use common sense, which is to say that if I have an ailment, I want to make sure that I have a prescription that is proper in terms of alleviating the particular ailment that I have. And that's true whether it's physical or metaphysical. And oftentimes we have people who are prescribing the wrong things for the wrong people. I talked about this with respect to transgenderism, where there was a man who was talking about how he felt that he might be a woman trapped in a man's body. And when he went to the psychiatrist said, yeah, of course, that's the problem. Let's start hormone treatment. And then he bemoans the impact of what happened to him as a result of that. Because later on, he recognized that that was a wrong diagnosis, but now that he wants to be a man again, the treatments that he has received don't allow him to ever father a family. So there are consequences if we don't get proper diagnosis. And there's a worldview that permeates many institutions today that we ought to look at very, very carefully. So that's maybe just in terms of a general principle. However, as far as your own trust in the Lord is concerned, this is directly relationed to how you view the scriptures, how you view the Word of God, how you view the church, the body of Christ that He has ordained us to be a priesthood of all believers within. So if you are baptized, in other words, you have been buried to your old life, raised to newness of life through His resurrection power, you've been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you're taking up your cross and following Him within the context of a healthy, well-balanced church, then many of those disillusionments that you feel in terms of your relationship with the Lord will start to fade as your enhancement of time with the Lord increases, is enhanced, is perpetuated within the context of the body of Christ. So I think it's really important that you do not miss a proper diagnosis from a medical standpoint, but just as proper that you do not misdiagnose what is needed from a spiritual standpoint. For example, if you feel that you are a rugged individualist and you can go this road alone, well, then you're missing the biblical worldview that says we must have an active faith within the context of the body of Christ, whereby we partake of the graces that allow us to live not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit, and allow us to feel a connection with God, because those very graces are meant to bring you into the life of the Trinity. So just as enhanced time with human beings enhances relationship with those human beings, the same thing is true with our Lord.
Okay, thank you. And is it proven that schizoaffective is a real disorder, or is it possible that it's a spiritual thing that we just don't?
Well, there are real disorders that you can have from both a physical standpoint and a metaphysical standpoint. And if you had cancer and I said, you know, don't worry about that, I just make sure you go to church enough, I would be not doing you a service. And the same thing is true if you have a metaphysical ailment. But I cannot diagnose you over the air. I don't have the wisdom or the capacity to do that. So again, the real issue is, are you getting good medical treatment? And is this a diagnosis that is appropriate? I wouldn't rely on just one person in this case.
Yeah. Okay, well, appreciate your thoughts, Hank.
Hey, you got it, Art. Thank you so much for your call. I want to go back to the phone line and talk to Mark in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Hank, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Okay, got a question for you. First off, I want to say thanks for taking my call, and I love your program. I'm always listening, even if I'm driving back and forth to work.
Oh, thank you.
But my question is, you know, Jews or people that follow Judaism or, you know, from Hebrew Israelites to a ton of people that follow, you know, Judaism in whatever form or fashion. I mean, I know what the Bible says when it speaks about, you know, Jesus is the only way and salvation is for everyone. I believe that with all my heart, and I'm a Christian. But when I run into people that's Jewish that don't believe in Jesus Christ, or they believe in him as a person but not as God in flesh as a Christian does, or a Hebrew Israelite or whatever, they believe that they're a chosen sect of people that God made a covenant with, and they're good based on that. So what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's misguided, to say the least. God never chooses people based on their ethnicity or their genealogy. If that were the case, he would not have chosen Rahab. He would not have chosen Ruth. He would not even have chosen Abraham, who certainly wasn't a Jew. So the notion in Scripture is always that you are a friend of God, and as a result of being a friend of God, you're brought into all of those types and shadows that point forward ultimately to a coming Messiah, which we now look back to. Christ has come. But unfortunately, there are people, even in the Christian community, I think of John Hagee, who says if Jesus refused by his words or actions to claim to be Messiah to the Jews, then how can the Jews be blamed for rejecting what was never offered to them? So he goes on to say that the Jewish people wanted Jesus to be their Messiah, but Jesus absolutely refused to be their Messiah. So in his view, the Jews were not rejecting Jesus as Messiah. It was Jesus who was refusing to be Messiah to the Jews. And so the whole idea here is that there's a covenant for the Jews that is altogether separate from a covenant for other people. But it's misguided on the very basis that I just mentioned. Nowhere in Scripture do we have this notion that God has two distinct people with two distinct plans. Instead, we see that the Old Covenant and the New Covenant are qualitatively the same. The reason that the New Covenant is better, Hebrews explains, is because the blood of Jesus Christ is better than the blood of bulls and goats. So the whole notion, again, that this is tied to your ethnicity is simply wrongheaded. If you are in Christ, says Paul, you're the seed of Abraham and you're an heir according to the promise. I love to quote Esther. You know, this is one of those great stories where Esther is being raised up by God to sovereignly save the Jews from certain destruction under Haman. And as the people of the various nations were looking on, they were amazed at God's sovereign power. And then the text tells us, on that day, many different people from different nations became Jews. Well, they didn't do that by changing their ethnicity, their birth mother, their genealogy. They did that because they believed in Yahweh, the God of Israel, and therefore they were brought into all the types and shadows pointing for to Jesus Christ. So there is only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Jesus Christ. So if you take seriously, I was just reciting this afternoon with our staff, the Nicene Creed. If you take that seriously, you recognize that it was Jesus who ascended into heaven. It is Jesus who is seated at the right hand of the Father. It is Jesus who will come again to judge the living and the dead. It is Jesus whose kingdom will have no end. So we are trusting in Jesus Christ because Jesus demonstrated that he is, in fact, God in human flesh. We're coming to station break. We'll be right back at the end of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember the Christian Research Journal? Check it out on the web, equip.org. Be right back.
The miraculous resurrection of Jesus did more than reverse the order of sin and death that plagues humanity. It inaugurated a whole new order of being. Yet many believers are ill-equipped to provide persuasive, credible answers to unbelievers who consider the central event of Christianity nothing more than mythological nonsense. Professor Paul Meyer's DVD, The Week That Changed the World, lays out the solid, verifiable evidence of history and archaeology that demonstrates the fact of Christ's resurrection from the dead. Receive The Week That Changed the World as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will return in just a few moments. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Why did the authorities need Judas to identify Jesus? How could the people who cheered Jesus on Palm Sunday call for his death just a few days later? Why was Pontius Pilate trying hard to avoid sending Jesus to his death? Is there evidence outside the Bible that these events actually happened? In the documentary film on DVD, The Week That Changed the World, Professor of Ancient History Paul Meyer offers compelling answers to questions concerning the events of Holy Week that culminated in Christ's death and resurrection. Dr. Meyer lays out the hard, verifiable facts of history and archaeology. Receive your copy of The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Next up is George listening in Richmond, Virginia. Hi, George.
Hello, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I've just got a question, and I know you probably got a good answer. So I'll ask the question, then I'll listen to you on the radio if you don't mind.
Not at all.
Okay. I've been reading the Gospels for 50 years and everything I can get my hands on. And I'm wondering if 2,000 years ago when Jesus was on trial or existing wherever he was, are there other people like the Romans or the Egyptians or people from anywhere that did any writings about Jesus on earth other than the Jewish people?
Yeah, interestingly enough, the answer is yes. Now, there were extra-biblical writings by Jewish people who were not Christians. For example, Flavius Josephus was a Jew who was writing to please the Romans. Obviously, not a Christian, but he attests to the historicity of Jesus Christ. And from that, you see that from external witnesses, it is possible to highlight the significant aspects of the life and death of Christ wholly apart from Scripture. But I'll give you an example of someone that wasn't Jewish. Perhaps the most notable example is Cornelius Tacitus. He was born 12 or so years after the death of Christ. He was a contemporary of Flavius Josephus, and he is widely deemed to be the greatest first century historian of the ancient Roman Empire. His annals, as they're called, span the time frame from the death of Augustus to the death of Nero, and his histories proceed through the death of Domitian towards the end of the first century. But there's a particular quote, I just looked it up in my book, Has God Spoken, where he says this: the most exquisite tortures were applied to the Christians. They were covered with the skins of beasts. They were torn by dogs. They were nailed to crosses and burned to serve as nightly illumination. So what you have Tacitus doing is not only providing cooperating testimony to the biblical account of Christ's crucifixion, as the Nicene Creed says, at the hands of Pontius Pilate during the reign of Tiberius Caesar, but it also draws attention to the Christian movement that had spread from Judea to Rome. And there are many other examples that could be given. I think of Gaius Suetonius Tranquillus. He, of course, was the chief secretary to Emperor Hadrian, and he is best known for the 12 Caesars. I remember going to Barnes & Noble many years ago and getting a copy of the 12 Caesars on audio and being totally fascinated by it. Other example, Plinius the Younger and many others could be given. So again, you can piece together highlights of the life of Christ totally apart from the Scriptures. Let's go back to the phone lines. Next up, David. He's listening in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hi, David.
Hello, Hank. Just a question regarding your opening verse and the money changers and Jesus scolding them. You know, my answer might be pretty obvious, but what message was he wanting to convey? And does any of that apply in today's church in abundance?
Yeah, I really do think it applies in today's church in abundance. You think, first of all, and I mentioned this at the opening of the broadcast, the quotation that is used in the Gospels is that zeal for your house will consume me. This was prophetic of Jesus Christ. He had zeal for the house of God. Now, why is that? It is because the Shekinah glory of God dwelt there. And thus, it is a holy place. And when a holy place is transferred into a place of enterprise, it is a horrible thing. You think about how that happens in today's church where Christians have become very consumeristic. They walk into a church and they think, what am I going to get from that church? A good feeling, some relationships, a good message. But when we walk into the house of the Lord, we ought to have a completely different perspective. Zeal for the house of God should consume us as well. We should recognize that we're not coming to get, but we're going to give. We are worshiping God in everything we do. It is an act of worship. And so the cleansing of the temple points to the necessity that the church has to be kept free from earthly pursuits. And why is that? It's not only that the sanctuary is the temple of God, as it were. It is because we are the temple of God. The Shekinah glory of God dwells within us too. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. And what a treasure in earthen vessels. And thus we can be called the priesthood of all believers. So you can imagine that Jesus, who knows the Shekinah glory, in fact, all the fullness of deity dwelt in him in bodily form, that when he saw the prostitution of the temple, the commercialization, if you bring it to the 21st century of Christianity, he would have been very, very outraged. And that's why I said in my opening monologue that it is very likely that Jesus cleansed the temple more than twice, because this was an ongoing way of prostituting the temple. And of course, Jesus was the temple in the midst of the people. And he knew ultimately that the same sacrilege applied to the temple would be a sacrilege that was directed to him. And so he suffered for us under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. But he was willing to endure all of the indignities that humanity could pour upon him because of his great love for us.
Well, thank you, Hank.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Deborah. She's listening in Fort Worth, Texas. Hi, Deborah.
Yes, Hank. So I recently was entangled in a bunch of sin. I was a Christian, but hadn't really given my life up for the Lord. So I finally repented and turned. And now I feel like I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm hearing the Spirit. But I'm being pulled kind of in two different directions. I mean, now I'm like trying to read the Bible and see what it says and really trying to listen to the Holy Spirit. And I really didn't really even understand what the Holy Spirit was until this really happened. So I finally surrendered to God and turned my whole life over to Him. But I'm being pulled two different directions, like charismatic and Baptist, and or charismatic Bible Baptist, you know, on one side, charismatic on the other, and trying to figure out what the different... I just want to be pulled the right direction, and sometimes I feel like I'm getting pulled the wrong direction.
Yeah, it's an interesting question in that, you know, if you look at the Christian Research Institute, it's a microcosm of many of these traditions. I have people who work for me who are Pentecostal. I have people who work for me who are Reformed. I have people from Baptist backgrounds, EV-free, I mean, you can name it. And the thing they all have in common, first of all, is a collegial way of communicating with one another, and we learn from one another. So that's just fantastic. But the other thing is that we're all committed to the essentials of the historic Christian faith. We believe in the doctrine of the divine nature of Christ, that is God in human flesh. You know, the ultimate question that can be asked is, who do you say that I am? We all believe that we were born with a broken gene. We're all born with a stain of original sin. And so the grand meta-narrative of Scripture is how Jesus Christ comes and does what we cannot do. He reconciles us, not only to the Father, first and foremost, but also to one another. And then we also all hold to the sacred nature of the Scriptures, what I like to call the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. We all hold to the Trinity. Virtually every single theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God, to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I mean, without the resurrection, Paul makes clear, your faith is futile. You're still dead in your sins. And those also who have died are lost. So if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. And then the incarnation, the great mystery of how Christ comes into the world, and he's one person with two natures. We can't explain that, but this is one of the essentials of the Christian faith that we hold to because the Bible has clearly communicated it to us. And then we hold to the essential that Jesus Christ will appear a second time. Now, there are different ideas on some of these essentials with respect to the details. So some Baptists, some Reformed, Charismatics, and the like, they have different views on how the end times play out. But these are things that we can debate vigorously. We ultimately don't have to divide over. So my advice to you is simply to find a healthy, well-balanced church, a church in which you can experience word and sacrament, a church in which you can worship God in spirit and in truth, a church in which you can be connected to other believers, as communicated by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, and a church in which you're equipped to go out and impact a lost and searching world. So again, what you want to make sure is that the church you go to is deeply committed to the essentials of the historic Christian faith, which is foundational to the gospel itself. We're out of time. Thank you for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The resurrection is without question the most important event in human history. Why? The resurrection astonishingly did more than miraculously reverse the order of sin and death that plagues humanity. It inaugurated a whole new order of being for us and for the universe. Unfortunately, far too many people, believers and unbelievers alike, fail to grasp the enormous implications of this event. To strengthen your faith and equip you to provide credible answers to questions concerning the death and resurrection of Christ, the Christian Research Institute is offering the documentary film on DVD, The Week That Changed the World, featuring historian Paul Meyer. Receive The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org.